Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. No one likes to be wrong. It can get downright embarrassing. So today I thought we'd talk a little bit about myths, those supposed facts that a lot of people don't fully realize aren't true. Nowhere are myths more prevalent than in the world of religious liberty. Listen carefully and you'll see what I mean. I've asked Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, to help us separate fact from fiction on today's broadcast. Lincoln, are you ready to bust a few myths for us today?
On TV, I think there's a program called The Mythbusters, yes. And it usually involves blowing something up.
Well, we're not...
I don't know what we're going to do today.
We will refrain from doing that as much as possible. Okay, here we go. Number one, America is a religious country. Fact or myth?
Well, I think that's a fact.
So why aren't we acting like it?
Well, I think what you meant, and the setup there is this is a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. And that's not really true in a structural sense. But I think it is a religious country. The facts bear that out. Of the Western countries, the church attendance in the United States is much higher than Europe or any other Western country. I mean, that's mm-hmm. quite clear.
Yeah.
Something that I write about in Liberty Magazine, and I try to use it as the defining element when you're talking about religious activity, is spirituality. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure that you can make a watertight case that Americans are more spiritual than other people. Human beings have sort of constant attributes. But as far as religious activity, yes, America is a very religiously aware and active country. But a lot of people run with that, and they try to project that into the structure of the country and say, therefore, this is a religious government.
Mm.
And that's anything but the truth. Anything but the truth. Mm-hmm. And we need to sort of keep the two things apart. I got two videos the other day, free videos, so I watched them. When they're free, they're even more exciting. That's the Scotch in me.
Yes, really.
But I watched the videos, and they came with a book written by a man who's established himself as a historian of sorts, although I've spoken to historians that don't quite like to credit him with that title. But David Barton is the man that's most associated with historical statements coming from the religious right, mm-hmm. and he'd put together a very interesting book about the myths of this country not being a Christian nation. And I was surprised at how he turned everything on its head with very selective, often historical references. But more than selective, it was naive readings of the lives and comments of many people who were religious mm-hmm. in the founding of the United States. And for example, if George Washington made a statement about his personal faith, this was given as evidence that this is a Christian nation. And to me, this is missing the whole point. I would hope, and it would be wonderfully gratifying to show that every founding father, every one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, from Paul Revere to the Minutemen, that if all of them could be shown to be people of faith and of strong Christian sentiment, that would be great. But it would not in itself bear directly on whether this is a Christian nation, when the United States is a Christian nation. You have to look there to the stated goals in the establishment of the country. You have to look to the foundational documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and then some of the state documents. And the reverse is true. Those that try to prove that point, you know, clutching at straws, like in our year of the Lord, whatever, that...
Yes.
That's just like saying, you know, in the year 1900 AD,
Anno
Domini, you know. I mean, that's an expression. That's not a statement of a recommendation of a particular religious viewpoint.
Mm.
And all you can get out of the Declaration of Independence is endowed by their creator with certain rights. That's deism at best. That's not really a specific form of Christianity. It's also harks back to the philosophes of France that were spiritual but not particularly inclined toward Christianity, that had a generic view of nature and nature's God. You know, this was pantheism at best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not to demean them, but their intent very plainly is they formed this new secular order, novo secularum, was to have a state that was friendly toward religion, but was not in any way structured upon religion.
So you're making a difference then between politics and politicians. You can say that politicians may be of faith, but politics should not be of any particular faith. Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely. And that's why when they put the Constitution together, one of the clauses that no one much seems to notice, it says there shall be no religious test for public office. They didn't want it to be of state concern, any faith that someone held or no faith. And Thomas Jefferson, a great American and one of the framers, and he of the edited Bible for the Indians, that was one of the myths so-called debunked in this book that I read the other day. But Thomas Jefferson was seen as a great secularist. So be it. That was his right.
Yeah.
And he was still elected president. People at that time, even though they debated it vigorously, they knew that they were not electing the minister-in-chief. They were electing a secular leader. And he, like all the other presidents, showed a great respect toward religious expression in the United States, which is its strength. If we had partisan religious protection and promotion, even partisan towards, say, Christianity, we would have some sort of religious wars in this country, as have raged and are raging in other parts of the world today. We could very easily, even right now, have a war between Christians and Muslims. We could have very easily had open warfare between Protestants and Catholics. There was some societal persecution and troubles through the years, but the government never formally tilted against non-Protestant Christianity. It was not openly supporting any of them, but it was creating a climate that enabled and facilitated and had great respect for all religious faith and profession.
We're talking with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, about some of the myths of religious freedom. And that brings us, Lincoln, to the second myth. A person would say, okay, we are here in America. We might have some faith-based politicians, but we are not supposed to have a faith-based politics. The government is supposed to be open and free to anyone. So that means that there is no personal religious liberty issues in this country for anyone, fact or fiction.
Well, that's to turn the world on its head, isn't it? And this is the legitimate concern of some religionists today, that in becoming aggressively secular in enforcing a separation of church and state, there is the very real danger that religion will be squeezed out of the public forum. We don't want that. And Liberty Magazine does, I think, to a fault, emphasize the separation of church and state.
Yes.
But I know the danger if that's run too far, not in a legal sense, but in a societal sense. If society relegates religion only to home and hearth and behind closed doors, we are in deep trouble as a society. We need religion that is not so much yelled at you in the public square, but is lived by individuals whose personal morality and worldview is directly informed by their faith.
Do we need more religion in our government? And the reason I say this is because anytime you have two candidates running, it's sometimes like they're trying to be pastor in chief. They're falling over themselves to show how religious they are. So we think, okay, let's move. Not only do we have religious politicians, let's have a religious government. Do we need that? And what happens if we do have that?
Well, I hear that even the Iranians are restive under the mullahs.
Yeah.
That's not the way we should go. And I think the relatively perceptive voter, at least between elections, should know that politicians are the worst class to put priestly robes upon. They tend to be a little bit like the Pharisee that prayed in the public place.
Yes.
No, it's very dangerous. And you only have to look around you and the rest of the world to know that a religious figure trying to subvert the voters to his religious will is quite dangerous. Even if he directly doesn't do anything bad, he will agitate the different religious factions in the state, and often civil war as a result of it, religious civil war. No, I would rather look for people that show, not by their public profession, because political speeches, you know, they all promise and say things that they've stretched a point on, but show by their life that they're someone of integrity that comes from their spiritual faith. That's something that can be observed over the course of their public career quite easily. Yeah. It's not proven or disproven or displayed just because they say so. And you're right, you made a comment that, you know, all presidents make a big show of going to some church in Washington after elected, but that in itself proves very little. You know, I have to look at Jimmy Carter, who in some ways didn't make as much of a big song and a dance about his faith when he was in the presidency, but in private life has shown a life of consistent service and charity toward his fellow man. That has to come from his deep faith.
I like that. When we look at a candidate, when we look at a politician, we really need to separate the two. I like what you're saying here, and I'm understanding it now myself, that the politics and the politicians are really two different things. You hope that the politician will use Christian principles as he goes into the politics and that he is fair and open and forgiving. But you cannot build a government around Christian principles per se, because then the question is, which Christian principles are you going to use?
Absolutely. It becomes very quickly religious factionalism.
Yes, yes.
And that's the worst element of religion in the world. I often say, you know, there's way too much religion in the world because it's like political parties, way too many political parties. factionalism. You know, I've often said this, I think, on this program, that it amuses me when politicians, to prove a point, often say, and I'm not being political in this, you know, I'm recommending this, I'm not being political. Well, of course they're being political. What they really mean, but hardly ever show, is they're not being partisan. Religion, yes, is swimming all, or we are swimming in the world of religious ideas, and we come up against other swimmers all the time.
Yes.
But we can avoid religious factionalism, because that's the thing of conflict, and if it's inserted into a government, it will go very, very badly for the public peace and safety.
And the other part of that statement where you say we have too much religion in the world, you say we don't have enough spirituality in the world, so we need to switch those two around. We need to have more spirituality.
Well, yeah, religion in the sense of an allegiance and an agenda and party viewpoint, that's not good.
All right. Very good. Well, Lincoln, you have fielded these questions beautifully. I appreciate that. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine.
About another dozen we could have covered.
Absolutely. We'll do that in a future program. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it, Lincoln.
My pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom and the truth of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.